Rebecca, I gotta be honest. You post your cat on Instagram a little bit too often. You're always on vacation, and everybody knows that you sell lipstick. Oh yeah, Rebecca, you're such an awesome teacher. You tell me about technology and every brand new feature. Without you, I don't know what I'd do about uploading new photos to my story. I can't believe you make me laugh so hard I split my pants. Ooh, you always seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do, I'll be the Taylor Swift to your Marilyn Manson. You're the kind of friend worth having. When I'm feeling down, you're the one I call, and it's problem solved. It's problem solved. We've never met in person, but I still know you so well. You love your white furniture and groceries at your doorbell. We've got matching spirit animals, but we couldn't be more different if we tried. Ooh, you always seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do, I'll be the Taylor Swift to your Marilyn Manson. You're the kind of friend worth having. When I'm feeling down, you're the one I call, and it's problem solved. Oh, it's problem solved. Helping people with their problems, but we don't know a thing about them. Take a shot and we'll laugh all the way. Helping people with their problems, but we don't know a thing about them. Take a shot and we'll laugh all the way. Ooh, you always seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do, be the Taylor Swift, Marilyn Manson. You're the kind of friend worth having. When I'm feeling down, you're the one I call, and it's problem solved. Yeah, it's problem solved. Ooh.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you? You had a big day today.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I did. I've had a big day on Instagram, too. Everybody says I'm sending my children straight to the devil.
No. Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh, Julie.
Yeah. I had no idea they were going to the devil. I have to go get them. Can we record later?
I cannot believe people are saying that.
Well, I mean, most people aren't. But, yeah. Anyway, it's fine. I mean, I think I get it. Like, it's people have a lot of passionate hopes and concerns for their children, and I do too, you know. I mean,
right,
I homeschooled for 6 years. It's not like I just,
right,
so anyway, I guess I didn't expect that. I'm so at peace with my decision that I
did.
They can say what they want, you know, but they weren't in our kitchen seeing how it was actually going.
Right, exactly.
The enemy was in my kitchen.
Yes,
that's where he was.
Satan was in your kitchen.
For reals.
I believe it.
Oh, I mean, man.
I'm proud of you for making the decision. That's a hard decision.
It was a really hard decision, but I just realized I wasn't having a relationship with my daughter.
Yeah.
We just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
No essential oil was fixing it.
No.
Rebecca. I even bought homeschool essential oil. Just kidding. I don't know. I don't think that's a thing.
I'm surprised it's not.
I know. It does feel like it should be.
I know.
Like a pencil on the front.
Right.
An apple. I haven't talked to you forever. What the heck?
I know. How are you?
Good. Okay. I have a bone to pick with you. So let's just start off with that.
Oh, great. Okay.
You want to change your name to Becky?
It's not changing. That's what I originally was.
No, that doesn't work for me. Is that official?
Well, no, not really. So I feel like the people who know me the best and are like my best friends and like my husband, they call me Becky. And that feels really, I feel really close to them. Like, I feel like you should call me Becky if you really want to be my close, intimate friend, you know?
But like, that doesn't sound as good as My Dear Rebecca.
Well, I mean, you did have a song written for me with Rebecca in it.
Doesn't hold any weight.
That would have to be rewritten.
Yeah, and re-recorded.
Right. Which is expensive.
That's expensive. People think I sing that song, so maybe I could just re-record it.
I'll probably just kind of have the best of both worlds, I guess, where I'm called Rebecca in professional situations, but then my close friends and my family all calls me Becky. They never made the switch, okay. And Neil never made the switch.
And this is clearly a professional situation, so I'll just keep calling you Rebecca.
Yeah, we're just professional friends.
No, I get it, because I love when people call me M. I love when people just take it upon themselves to do it, because I don't ever introduce myself as M, only because it sounds like a letter, like I'm trying to be a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a problem with that.
Yeah. It is also, it's unfortunate that Becky is such a different name than Rebecca, even though that's the nickname of Rebecca.
Yeah, Becky sounds like you're 11. Kind of.
I know.
Does that hurt your feelings? I'm sorry.
Well, Becky. That's why I changed it to Rebecca. So I changed. I mean, there's no backstory here unless people watched my Insta story. But I was Becky my entire life until like 10 years ago, 11 years ago. And I graduated college and got a real job and was like, I am mature now. So call me Rebecca.
You should be Becky if you like it. I think it's great. I just was shocked, appalled, afraid. Perplexed.
That's a lot of emotions.
I have a lot going on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. You can still call me Rebecca. Just doesn't feel like the true me.
Okay. I'll call you Becky, but you got to call me M. But I feel like we're getting like a whole new identity.
I know. Should we rename the whole podcast?
Yes. New song, new name. It's all new. Okay.
It's all new.
So, all right. Let's tell me about your road trip.
Well, Em, it was...
That's going to take a lot of practice.
It was amazing. I love vacations and road trips in particular with Gidget. I mean, how can you
not? Oh, you
not?
Took Gidget. Okay, I think I missed that.
You didn't know we took Gidget?
I didn't know you were going by Becky. I feel like there's been a lot going on in my own life, and I've not been on the internet as much.
Yeah, understandable.
I'm sorry.
I'll still let you call me Becky.
Okay, Becky.
So yeah, we took Gidget. So every February we go to Florida to visit my parents, who go down there for a couple months to escape the winter. Yet they do not call themselves snowbirds. They say they're not old enough to be a snowbird. And they don't stay long enough to be a snowbird. So
that is so funny.
That is.
Embrace who you are, people.
Right. So they stay for about 2 months. And so we always go down there. This was my and Corbin's fifth year going down.
Okay.
We went like when he was a teeny tiny baby. I just went with him.
Okay.
And this year we decided to bring Gidget since we have Gidget and kind of camp along the way down. And
was
then
it great?
It was so fun. We did this kayak adventure and saw a manatee that went right under our kayak.
What? Was all that on Insta story and I missed it?
Yes.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
For heavens. The manatee was not, however, on the Insta story. It was quick. It happened fast. Yeah. And every time I tried to Insta story while we were on the kayak, we almost like fell over. So
right.
Very little Insta storying happened. I was just trying to survive, you know.
I get it. You're out in the wild.
With the alligators. Although there were no alligators. Everyone was so worried for me. I felt so loved on Instagram this trip.
Good.
The most common question was, what about the alligators? Which I was fearful of too, because just last year, that poor little toddler at Disney World, the happiest place on earth, it's terrifying. And apparently the place where we were kayaking have no alligators in them. The water was too clear. Apparently, they like...
They were making that up.
Murky waters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we went on a... I don't know if it's a kayak or a canoe. I have no idea what it is. What's the difference? How can you tell?
Kayaks hug your body more, I guess.
Okay. I was sitting on top of it.
You were sitting on top of
it. I was not like inside where it looks like the boat ate your bottom half. That's one of them. You know, where you like put your legs in. That's neither.
Oh, that's like a raft.
No, not a raft. No. It was like a boat.
Then I think you had a canoe. Probably a canoe.
Okay. Well, I went in the thing and we were just on our water by the end of our street, and it was so fun, and we just like ran into a neighbor who had one of these boats, and we went around, and it was so fun just for a second. And then the next day there was a sign up that said no boating. So
a new sign or one that you would never notice?
Oh, brand shiny new. The next day. So oh. I'm glad I got some pictures of that, because that ain't happening again.
Good thing you got it in.
So funny.
That's hilarious.
It's not like we were, like, lighting off fireworks or swimming in the water. I don't understand why it's such a bad thing.
Why do they have water at the end? I mean, what do they want you to do with that water?
Look at it.
Look at it.
It's just for looking. No touching. Have you seen Arrested Development?
No.
Anyway. Okay. You should. It would be good. It would be good for you. Okay. So, what problem are you solving lately? Like, tell me. I'm not up on your life.
I know, on my issues. Well, I feel like to kind of bring things full circle from, do you remember my breakdown podcast episode?
Where you cried right out of the gate?
Yep.
It made an impact, yes.
Well, I went to my doctor and I got some medicine for anxiety and depression.
How is that going?
My life is completely changed. I don't even know how to describe it except two things. One, I feel like somebody just put space between my brain and my skull. I don't even know if that makes sense, but that's like the best way I can describe it, is like there's space up there. Like everything's not like crunching in and like overwhelming me. And then the second thing is like about 2 weeks into it, I like legitimately felt happy, and I was like, whoa, is this what people, like normal people, feel? Is this happiness?
Isn't that something? For me, because I'm on medication too, because my family just needs me to be able to function. And I felt like I had static going on all the time. And for the first time, my head was quiet.
Yeah.
Not like empty, but like I could have a thought.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like the same stress is there, but I just can deal with it. Like it's not, when I would feel that stress, I would just want to go to my room and get under my covers, and I like can actually handle it. So I'm not saying that everyone who's feeling stressed should go get medicine, but you should consider that maybe there's some chemical imbalance going on.
Yeah.
So
you don't think just praying harder would have worked?
I don't.
Sorry.
But I will say this too. I feel like I did try a lot of things before I went to to medicine. So
I agree. And I don't know if I told you this before, but my community group at church, like our life group or whatever you want to call it, our church is, a lot of people are like, holy cow, your church is intense, because we do run a lot of things by our community group. Because I think it's good to have to do that, especially because most people don't want to do that. And there's a reason why we don't want other people in our business. But anyway, all the girls in my group were like, please go ahead and continue taking the medicine.
Do not stop taking that.
You are different. Please do it more. It's not as terrible as everybody says, and it's not because we weren't trying.
Exactly. Yep.
I'm glad that that's working for you, Rebecca. Rebecca. Please, I call you that. I love that.
That one's terrible.
It's just so perfect.
Oh my goodness. It's like rubber ducky. That's what it sounds like.
It kind of does.
So yeah, that's my problem I've solved this month. What about you?
I love it. Well, I mean, honestly, we already talked about it, but the problem of homeschooling is really been solved. And I'm excited. Like, I had heard scary things about the neighborhood school. I had never gone there. I just heard it was, like, haunted. No, yeah, I'm just kidding. Right. I didn't hear it was haunted. But anyway, but I toured it, and it was really great. Like, really great.
Oh, that's awesome. So tell me how you got to the decision that you're going to put them in public school.
Well, the decision was made to put them in homeschool them because I... Honestly, for me, it was not because I wanted to. It was because I was afraid.
Yeah.
And because I have a master's in education, I felt like I should.
Mm-hmm.
So I should and I'm afraid are not great reasons to homeschool, I have discovered after 6 years.
Yes.
And so I think, honestly, it just got to the point where I was crying all the time. Every homeschool day, I didn't want to get out of bed. And but I was doing all the things, like, really all, I had candles on and oils and classical music and all, the Harry Potter soundtrack, which some mm-hmm. people would say is of the devil, and that's why we were having a hard time, but that's fine.
I mean, that's where you went wrong right there.
Thank you. Sorry. Yes. I appreciate that. No, I know. So I think that just it got to the point where I couldn't stop crying. My husband couldn't work as effectively because he had to keep coming in and refereeing, and it wasn't even, I don't know, it was incredibly stressful. So I just got to the point where I'm like, I don't have a relationship with my daughter. She hates my guts because I have to talk to her about school, and mm-hmm. I just want to be able to be her mom.
Yeah.
I wasn't ever really able to be her mom. She came to us at 2. I was in nursing school, and then when I got out of nursing school, we moved to Texas, and then I put her in school, and I was her teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never just been her mom, and I'm just realizing I don't even know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And switching back and forth, like, she goes to school for one day, and then I can be her mom that afternoon, but then tomorrow morning I'm the teacher. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I don't know. It was just bad.
When did you make the decision and go enroll them?
So a couple of weeks ago, I just, like I said, I couldn't stop crying, and my husband even was like, listen, I don't know what we're going to do, but you will get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the girls in my community group are like, those are the best words we've heard because they know how hard this has been, you know? Mm-hmm. So I knew there was light at the end of the tunnel, but my husband likes to investigate things to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid that he was going to investigate other schooling options until they were seniors.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't think you understand. Like, now that I'm finally able to realize that this isn't working, finally, I've admitted it, I can't, like, do it for one more day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't understand. I'm at the breaking point. Lane is at the breaking point. Everything is breaking.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of are like, fine, well, let's just go look at the neighborhood school. I mean, we were considering moving to different school. Like, I don't know. We just heard so many bad things that we were sure that it was going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
But it was awesome, and we loved it. And the kids were like, please, can we go here today? They did not want to leave the school. They were so pumped. And so we said, well, you know, let's finish well. So we went to school one last day and, like, said goodbye to the friends at the school they were at.
Yeah.
Because it's a hybrid. It confuses everyone. Were they homeschooled or not?
Right.
It was half and half. So we said goodbye to half and half, and they're there today. And they're, like, pumped. They're, like, so excited. And I cannot tell you how much peace I feel.
That is so great. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. How is homeschooling going for you?
Good. I had a rough start, I think. Yeah. I had high expectations on myself, so I'm actually loving it currently. I'd say, like, 75% of the time, I love it.
What expectations did you lower?
Well, I didn't make my kids, like, watercolor all, like, the, you know, science lessons. Basically, like, I stopped making my kids do what everyone else on Instagram was doing.
That's always a good idea. I love it.
And, like, my son hates to draw, and that was, like, forcing him to draw in watercolor with classical music and, you know, all of that. So anyways, I just took a ton of expectation off myself. Really, we probably don't do enough schooling, to be honest. Like, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out, like, what's the right balance.
Do you have, like, a plan?
We have curriculum. Yeah. So I feel like I've got my math curriculum down. We're using a really great program that I love, and they're learning things and doing really well in it. I feel like they're both really good at math. So I haven't had to teach them a lot yet. I'm a little worried about that. Like when they get to a point where they don't already know how to do something or they don't catch on quick. So,
don't worry about it. Yeah. Cause if they like it and if it'll be fine.
Yeah. And then for reading, I've just been reading them tons of books. Like I've been reading like chapter books, read alouds to them.
Yeah.
We have three going at a time usually.
Oh, that stresses me out.
You know what? It's actually working. It does stress me out, but this is how I'm doing it. So we have one that I'm reading to both of them together, like during the day, or we did it a lot on our car trip. And then they each have a read aloud that I'm reading them a chapter before bed. So I'll lay in like their bed with them. All my kids are in the same room now. I don't know if I've even told you that. Like we moved all of our kids to one room.
No, I saw that.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes.
So they listen to each other's read alouds as well, but they don't have to.
That's good. I think you're doing a good job.
Thanks. Yeah. And then we travel. See manatees.
Gosh, that's so fun.
I'll be interested for them to take a state test at some point to be like, oh dear, like they've learned nothing.
Turns out read aloud, there's more to life than the read aloud. So when do they do that? Because at the school my kids were at, they just did it they did that stuff for me.
What do you mean? They did the read alouds for you?
No. The testing. Like, do they have to take a test every year?
Starting in third grade. So none of my kids will take a test this year. They'll start. Okay. Jonah will start next year.
Okay.
If it wasn't for this hybrid program, my kids would be learning nothing. Like.
Oh, so they are in a hybrid program.
They are. Yeah. They go on Monday and Wednesday. And I would have to step up my game, I think, a lot more. Or find a more structured curriculum for reading and science. And oh, you know, other things we've been doing that have been working and are really low key and easy is the keyboarding without tears. I really want my kids to learn how to type. I feel like that's, you know, kind of important. So
I wish I had learned. I never did.
You didn't do like Mavis Beacon teaches typing?
No, but I like that name. That's cute. Yeah, I love the name Mavis.
It is cute. That is cute. So we've been doing that. And then there's another like phonics online game program called Explode the Code that we've been doing. So
fun.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm grateful for the hybrid program.
Yes, that's good. All right. So I got a lot of problems from people they want solved.
Great. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's see. I have wrote down 20, but we won't have time for all those. Number one, this girl named Kunia, I don't know, on Instagram says, is Becky gardening this year? What is her favorite thing to grow? Does she grow it from a seed or a plant? And I wrote her back and I said, this needs to be about me too, people. Just kidding. I didn't. So please answer her questions.
I love that question. Yes, I am planning on having a garden again this year. And I ordered some seeds from, I think the company's Florette Flower.
Okay.
Some Florette Flower or seeds, or I don't know. It has the word Florette in it. And I ordered, zinnias did really well in my backyard last year. And so did snapdragons, I think they're called.
Those are gorgeous.
They're beautiful. I loved the snapdragons. That was like my very favorite. So I ordered another color of those.
But the seeds?
Yeah, I started them from seed in my basement. And what? I haven't started them. Didn't start them yet because I knew I was going on vacation. We just got back last night. So I'm going to start them this week in the basement. And you use like a growing light. It looks like you're like growing something illegal down there. But well, depending on what state you live in, illegal, I guess.
True.
I mean, it's illegal to grow it without a license, right? Probably.
You know, I'm not up on the marijuana facts.
Okay. Well, I'm not growing that. Okay. However, it does kind of look suspicious.
So, okay, you put them under a growing light and then the light stays on like 24/7 or just like when the sun's up.
It's on a timer. So, yeah, you put it on for when the sun would be up. These are the things we have to do up in the north where things are cold and dark.
Why not just buy the plants?
It's not as, you can't start as soon. I'd have to wait till like April.
But you also wouldn't have to do anything because they're growing by somebody else growing them.
That is true, but you don't get the full, I mean, I'd also do that. Emily M, you don't get the full experience.
Okay.
You don't get to see God's miraculous transformation of this tiny little seed to a large, beautiful flower.
No, I do think that'd be really cool. Honestly, I've been so busy with like homeschooling and fighting my kids.
Yeah.
I have this whole new world opening up to me.
You do. I'll send you some seeds.
Perhaps I'll be a horticulturist.
Yes. Or just a gardener, you know.
Oh, okay. I feel more comfortable with just being a gardener.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we sorted that out. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Because we both have curly hair. So Half Pint Prince wants to know, what do you do when your kids have curly hair? Because she said her two-year-old always looks like a mess. Mm-hmm. She already does, like, leaves in the conditioner, but mm-hmm. that's all that she does. Mm-hmm. Would you say to, because my kid's hair isn't curly, and my hair wasn't curly when I was little, so I'm not sure.
I'm the same boat. My kids don't have curly hair, and I didn't have curly hair until I was 13.
Yes, me too. So weird. I mean, obviously it's hormonal, but I just don't know if you could put product in a kid's hair, like, that young.
I think you could.
Okay.
What's wrong? What do you think's going to happen? Hair's going to light on fire?
Yeah, or they'll go bald. Male pattern baldness in a two-year-old is not attractive.
From gel and mousse?
You haven't heard that? No, it's not that. It's just like, I don't know, sticky, and they're already dirty kids, you know? Don't know. I don't know if I'd want to add to that.
I mean, as much as I wish my daughter had curly hair, and as much as she wishes she had curly hair, I'm grateful that I just put a brush through that thing and call it a day. So,
yeah. My poor daughter, though, her bangs are getting curly, but that's it. That's not a good look. Nope.
That's not a good look.
We're growing those jokers out as soon as we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so Singing Skyward on Instagram, she dyed her hair, quote, brown, but it came out black. And so she said, how could I rock this new hairstyle without looking like an emo kid? That was so funny. Poor thing.
I mean, I think she should just embrace it. Get the black eyeliner, the
black
dark
nail
lipstick.
Polish.
Yeah, just go for it.
The cape. I personally prefer a cape to a trench coat. I don't even know if emo kids wear capes. I'm just saying, like, it's so flowy, you know? Seems like it'd breathe better than a trench coat.
I do agree.
So.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe a hat.
Okay. All right. I don't really know anything about hair.
I mean, she probably looks more like Snow White than an emo kid.
Oh, that's so good. So just red lipstick, carry around an apple. Bam. Problem solved.
I bet she looks beautiful.
That's so good. Have you ever had a bad hair dyeing incident?
I've never dyed my hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I did it one time. I asked my mom if I could do it at my friend's house in, like, junior high. Mm-hmm. I thought she said... Okay, no, this is what she said. I'd rather you didn't. I took that to mean, but go ahead. Sure. And she took that to mean, like, soft no, but still no.
Right.
We just interpreted those words different. And so, anyway, it was like washables, like washed out. So anyway, she made me stand in the shower till it washed out.
Oh.
It's like, if it comes out in 15 washes, you get in there and wash it 15 times.
What? Oh my God. What color was it?
Well, it kind of turned purple, but it wasn't supposed to be purple.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just had some undertones that were not. And it didn't mean 15 consecutive washes, by the way. It didn't come out in one.
Were you in the shower for a while?
A long time.
Yeah.
So. All right. Let's see. A Cheatham 612 says, what is it like for both of you ladies to be your own bosses and to keep your businesses moving forward? You're more of a boss than I am.
You're more bossy than me.
I'm just kidding. Bossy Becky. Just kidding. Sorry.
Bossy Becky. Oh my gosh. What is it like? That's such an open-ended question. It's amazing and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
I love the flexibility and freedom that owning my own business gives me. I don't have to ask for time off. You know, I can just kind of take it. But it's also pretty terrifying that the, like, income of 15 people, including my family, like, is not on my shoulders, because I believe in God and his sovereignty. But pretty much other than that, like, on my shoulders. So that's pretty terrifying.
And how many years has it been, like, your main income for your family?
5 now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. I was one time crying in my accountant's office, like, the business is not going to make it. And he's like, Rebecca, because we're not like intimate. So
I get it.
He would call me Becky.
Mm-hmm.
He said, every person who owns their business every 6 weeks feels like their business is going to die. And I was like, oh, good. He's like, your business is not going to die. He said, you're one of our most viable businesses that I do books for. And I was like, really? Because I feel like we're not going to make it 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
And so that was really encouraging to me. Just like, that's just the nature of being an entrepreneur. You feel like you're rolling in cash and then you feel like you have nothing.
Okay. Is that getting easier over time?
It does. I mean, it gets easier because I just expect it. I know that this is normal and it's feast or famine, but it's not always famine. Like, okay. Feasting comes, spring comes after winter. Yeah. At least that's how it's worked out up until now.
But there's always tomorrow. There could be a disaster. So good.
But yeah, ultimately I love the flexibility and the freedom and the creative outlet it is for me and all of that.
So do you still make designs up? Are you the one who does that?
I do a lot of it. I also work with our head seamstress to make up a lot of the designs. Okay. And our new marketing girl that we hired this year is helping with different things too. So it's kind of a team effort.
I love the new things you're doing.
Thanks. There's even more to come. I'm so excited. We opened up something so cool today that we're going to sell in our retail shop, but I can't.
Like jewelry?
Nope. Something else.
Are you not doing
jewelry? I mean, we are going to do jewelry. Okay. I don't think that's.
Just tell me. I won't tell anybody.
I can't trust you to edit this part out.
That's very good. It's a solid point. For me, I have one employee and that's all. I don't know. I really don't have anything else to say. It's not even official. I don't feel like a business.
You pay under the table?
I mean, it's on PayPal. It feels like it's over the table. I'm still like in the infant parts of having a business, but...
What do you like about it?
I like that I get to make money for doing stuff I like.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I get a bunch of free stuff. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you always like the free stuff you get? Or do you ever feel like you have to kind of lie about it?
I largely like the things that I get. Because a lot of times I say, yes, I would like to get that before I get it.
True. So you're kind of, you'll say no if you don't think you'll like it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one person who was making nursery rhymes out of alcohol, mother booze nursery rhymes.
You didn't go for that.
I didn't feel like it fit my target audience. I don't know. Oh, but I'm sure there's an audience for it. Totally.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Jessica Conley, which is not the same as Jess Conley.
Well, that we know. Maybe she's embarrassed to ask this question, so she
just had made a new Instagram account. How do you get kids to pick up after themselves? She has a 5-year-old who leaves a trail everywhere she goes, and she feels like her maid. We parent so differently.
We do parent differently.
What do you do? You make an Insta story about it. I probably do too.
My kids are pretty bad at this with like, not necessarily like walking around and leaving trash, but like they'll sit on the couch and eat fruit snacks and they'll just throw their trash on the floor.
Mm.
Like that is the garbage. Classy. It's terrible. And it drives me crazy. And I'm constantly joking with them or saying like, what do you think that is? Like the garbage,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they get up and take it to the trash. But
it's good.
They haven't learned not to try it first. Although I will say, actually, I can think of 2 times within the last month that I saw them take it to the trash first, and I greatly applauded them and tried to make a huge deal about how amazing that was.
That's really
so
good.
So that they'd do it again.
Yeah. I'm noticing that my 9-year-old is starting to like turn lights off and clean up after herself in the kitchen sometimes. The hard thing is when they do it, then you don't notice sometimes if you don't see it happen.
Right. Yeah.
But
you notice when they do the wrong thing.
Yeah. Okay. And so on the Enneagram, I'm a 1, and 1s are perfectionists. It's really terrible. And I can see when everything's out of place, only the out of place things pop out at me.
Yeah.
So like it hurts my eyeballs. Are you a 1? What are you? You're not a 1.
I don't know what I am. I've never taken that test, but I do have that tendency that you're describing.
Okay. So. Well, and so I was talking to my daughter, and she's an 8, which means she's going to... she's like the rebellious one. She's going to push back. It's a real blessing from a perfectionist to the, this is again why we couldn't homeschool anymore. But so we were talking about it and I'm taking this course right now and it's, it tells you like how to love these different people, all the different personality types. And, and I told her, I said, like, for example, a way to love me would be to like help out a little bit so that I don't feel like I have to do everything because anything out of place bothers my eyeballs until it's put in place. She goes, really? I said, yeah. And we were sitting in the car at the grocery store. I'll explain later what one of those is. I'm just kidding. I know you don't go to the grocery store. I'm just kidding. But anyway, so we were sitting in the car and I said, like, for example, right now, as we sit here in the living room, there's chips out, there's an empty salsa container out, there's school supplies all over and the blanket's on the floor. She's like, are you kidding me right now? You know that? I'm like, it's like burned into my eye, into my mind. Yes, I know that. So anyway, just it's been helpful to realize and to for me to love her well is to not take the things she says personally because she's just being honest because she values being straightforward with her opinions.
Yeah.
And I take things personal. So I'm learning to like get a little bit thicker skin and she's learning to pick up the freaking chips.
Yeah. That's a good point because I doubt her 5-year-old is doing it to be disobedient or annoy her. Like some personalities, you don't even know what you're doing. So it needs to be pointed out.
Yes. And I think we've talked about this before, but using meals as a natural motivator, like we're going to go through and clean up, you know, the area before we have, you know, lunch or whatever.
That is not what I thought you were going to say.
Like you can't have food until you eat. No, but like really, like, hey, lunch is ready. Yeah. Go ahead and clean up your art supplies and then we'll, or I'll give, you know, you take the living room, you take the dining room because they've got toys in both. And then, you know, I'll meet you in the kitchen for your hot dog or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Natural points during the day where, so that way your kids can make a mess, but you know, it's going to get cleaned up at lunchtime and at dinner.
Yeah. Cause you're not their maid.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or if they really love this one item, then I just take it and say, you can get that back as soon as you clean up the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, just like find motivators. And then they're like, okay, like right now, if I took my son's lightsaber and just put it on a shelf and said, you know, and he would learn how to, I don't know, ride a unicycle just to get it back. He would do anything. I'm not asking him to ride a unicycle. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I understand.
Natural motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie Mae's mom says, how do you deal with kids who hate homework? I sent him to public school. How do you do it?
We don't really have homework, I guess. I don't know. I'm a pretty big fan of like reward charts and sticker charts and things. I always feel like that's pretty motivating for kids. So
you're right. And I don't know why my personality or just whatever. I'm like, you should do it because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't give those motivations and therefore they hate it.
Yeah.
But you're right. I should do a sticker chart for something like maybe a clean room or something. We do the pom-pom thing and that's been really good. Putting like the little pom-poms in a jar.
That's the same thing. It's a sticker chart.
It is. I don't know. That just sounds more fun to me than a sticker. I don't know why I'm averse to a sticker chart. I don't know why.
Yeah.
A sticker chart never did anything bad to me.
Never did.
All right. Do you have like a once a week where you do like a fun activity, like movie night or something?
We do have movie night on Friday nights.
How do you choose movies? Because it is a fight every single time.
Every single time. Yeah.
I was thinking to make like a calendar of movies that me and Eric pick.
Yeah.
Because what the heck? This isn't supposed to turn to fight nights. I feel like it's Fight Club. It's not.
And it's also not like the night to watch Pokemon Black and White. Like I need to enjoy the movie as well.
Exactly. So. Because we really aren't going to enjoy the movie. Like, throw us a bone here, people. Mm-hmm. I'm not watching talking dog movies. I don't care.
I kind of like those. Homeward Bound, such a classic.
You know, I do. I just don't like the idea of it. And it just makes my skin crawl. It makes me feel sad about my life. But then I'm in a place where my son gets afraid of everything that's like looks real. He likes animated. My daughter is way too mature for animated and goes, it doesn't even look realistic. But she'd rather watch a dog talk because I'm so sorry. That's not realistic either. It was just a really big conundrum.
Yeah, I like your idea of the calendar, when you said that, it made me think I should go through Netflix and write down approved, like, movies that I would want to watch on movie night that I know the family would enjoy, and put them in a jar. And then we just pull from the jar each. So nobody's making the decision. Because then it's always like, well, he picked last week.
Oh, my gosh. You know. I know. It's a disaster. We watched Little Rascals, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was so cute. Well, my son was mad because he saw on the, like, the beginning part that some kids were going to kiss. And he was like, he thinks that's the grossest thing ever, mm-hmm. when a boy and a girl kisses. And so he, like, protested by going after his room and crying. And he was, like, boycotting movie night because he boycotts mm-hmm. everything. And it only ever affects him. Like, mm-hmm. fine, we're still going to watch it. Whatever. And so he just watched it in the hall because he was so – but he still watched it and he loved it.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just the drama beforehand. That's what I like about, like, a calendar, because everybody knows this is the four we're going to watch, and get all your upsetness out about it if you yep. want. But then they're like, I don't even want to come. And that's not really the point either.
Right. Yeah, we haven't had any of ours. I mean, our kids hate being in a separate room from ours. They're, like, afraid to go in any other. So that would never happen. But
we've never had anybody officially boycott an entire
movie.
It's more just for, like, the drama, like, the theatrical, you know, flair of the beginning part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe I should just expect it and not get so bent out of shape about it.
There you go.
That might be a good life goal for me.
Just accept it.
Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of kissing in movies, I have been using, I'm sure you've heard of this, Common Sense Media.
I've heard of it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been using it mostly for books, like read aloud books, because I personally enjoy reading the kids books that I've never read before. Like, I don't want to read Charlotte's Web again. I mean, okay. They've never read it. They probably need to, but they can read that on their own. I don't want to read Charlotte's Web and Little House on the Prairie and things like that. So I want to read books out loud to them that I'm going to enjoy, which means I haven't read it before, so it could turn disastrous, you know?
Yes.
With there's inappropriate content.
I was reading a book the other day and there was, really bad language. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Even in the, like, kids section at Barnes & Noble, that goes from, like, preschool all the way to through middle school in their book selections back
there. It is so hard to know. Okay, so Common Sense Media tells you, like, appropriate age for the readings?
It tells you the age, and then it has all these categories, like violence, sex, and it rates how much is in there of all those different categories. And you can even click on it, and people will write, like, under the sex category, be like, they kiss on the cheek or something. Like, you can see mm-hmm. what it is in the in each category and decide, like, if your kid is there was one book I really wanted to read, but it was about this island of, like, all these kids lived on there, and it was an island just for kids, but they experienced their periods and then they have to leave the island. And I was just like, I'm not ready to go there with my 6-year-old just yet. So, like, had I not looked on Common Sense Media, though, I would have been, and it's, like, a scary, traumatic thing for these kids in the book, because they don't know what it is that's happening to them necessarily. So I was like, I'm not going to read that. But otherwise, I would have bought it and just started reading it. And anyways, I'm really liking it. I think they have movies on there, too, is what made me think of that. However, I've been using it more for read-alouds.
So good.
Anyways.
Do you have anything else you would like to say?
Yes, actually. Okay. I am pretty disappointed that we have been doing this podcast for over a year. Okay. And there are still problems out there. Every month.
That's such a good point. I forgot to be offended about that, but now that you mention it, I am ticked.
I feel like something's not working.
It does seem like perhaps this is a futile endeavor. What a surprise. Be the Taylor Swift, Evelyn Madsen. You're the kind of friend worth having. When I'm feeling down, you're the one I call. And it's problem solved. Yeah, it's problem solved.